welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of, so we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Are you ready for the Word of God this morning? Can you do something for me? Can you declare out loud and boldly, today my heart is open, my ears are alert to grow and change and never be the same. Amen. Awesome. Once you take your seat, thank you, worship team. Fantastic. There's four words in the Bible. Right at the beginning, there's more than four words, but we'll look at these four today. There's four words right at the beginning of the Bible before anything or anybody has ever known. And these are the four words: in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. These four words, I don't know about you, but when I read this and I open up page one and I see in the beginning of God, fear comes into me. I don't know what it does for you, but a healthy fear comes over me that there was somebody before all things, that there is a supernatural person before all human beings were ever created, or is this person created you and I here today. There's someone that has created everything and he's all powerful and he's supernatural. And the Bible tells us later that he holds the world in his hands. You know, if that won't put fear in you, I don't know what will. That somebody so powerful exists before all things. He has always and he will always rule and reign. Amen. Our God, church, has always ruled and reigned, and our God will always rule and reign. No matter what comes at you in life or whatever this world can throw out at humanity, we need to remember that our God rules and he reigns. He is the greatest of everything in this world. And his greatness is amazing. It's easy under such greatness and in a world to feel small and insignificant. So today what I want to do is I want to show you and anyone listening to this why you matter so much. Why you matter so much. In the garden, God's presence was with Adam and Eve, and God walked in the garden. You see that in Genesis 3 verse 8. And then after Adam and Eve sinned, God sent them away from the garden. So humanity has struggled without God intimacy ever since that day. And then later in history, God gave Moses the plans to build the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle. Now there was a way for God to dwell with humanity again, to dwell with people again. Hundreds of years later, David rose up to become the king of Israel, and he desired to build the first temple. He longed for the presence of God to be with him always, to get the ark back and put it back into a temple. There's a bit of history in between there. But God told him to prepare the materials through his whole lifetime so that his son Solomon could build the first temple. Then the day came when Solomon completed the temple and the ark was in it to stay once again. And Solomon had a revelation of the power, of the love, and of the commitment that God, who ruled and reigned, had for us, for humanity. And when Solomon was dedicating that temple, he prayed an amazing prayer, and we're going to read this morning. And it's very long, and I did want to read it all, but I've cut it up into pieces. And you can also follow this on the YouVersion Bible app. If you just go to Events, City Point North, you can follow the reading right now there as well. But 2 Corinthians 6, are you ready for some scripture this morning? It's all right to have a little bit of Bible, more than one verse on a Sunday. Let's start from verse 12. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel, and he spread out his hands, and he said, 'Now, O Lord God of Israel, let your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant David. But will God indeed dwell with man on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple that I've built? Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer of your servant is praying before you.'" Verse 24, "If your people Israel are defeated before an army because they have sinned against you, and return and confess your name and pray and make supplication before you in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, when they pray towards this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you afflict them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel. When there is famine in the land, COVID-19, pestilence, or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, when their enemies besiege them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anybody, I love this, by anybody or by all your people Israel, when each one knows his own burden and his own grief and spreads out his hand to this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place and forgive and give to everyone according to all his ways whose heart you know." Are you getting the theme so far? Verse 32, "Moreover, concerning a foreigner," okay, concerning a non-Christian, maybe that hasn't been to church before, "who is not of your people Israel, when they say," verse 37, "'We have sinned, and we have done wrong, and have committed wickedness,'" verse 39, "'then hear from heaven your dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and here it is, forgive your people who have sinned against you.'" You want to hear some greater news? Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, it says, "When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled that temple. Verse 3, when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped like we did this morning and praised the Lord, saying, 'For he is good, and for his mercy endures forever.'" Can we give God a praise offering this morning? He is good and your mercy endures forever. You know, I discovered a few weeks ago, we have a great spot in this church to bow our knees on the pavement, right here at the front. This stage is the perfect height. We nailed it. It's the it's the place when you bow your knee, you can see still because the stage isn't in front of you. When you need to get up, you can put your hand on it because it's at about that level. It's a great spot. The temple, the house of the Lord. Amen. Truly our God rules and reigns, amen? Yes. Fire came down from heaven, I love it. God filled his temple. God was in the temple not to show off. He's not a show-off God. He was there that day to forgive people. That's the theme, to forgive. And who better? Who else can? No one. No one can forgive your sin except for the Lord God Almighty, the one who rules and reigns. The one who was, and he is to come. Jesus Christ. Amen. No one else. He's the only one. He's the only God who can forgive you today. No matter how you live, Christian, non-Christian, I'm talking to all of us. Every element of sin in our world, Christian, he forgives and he overwhelms you with his presence. Non-Christian, he will forgive you and put you steadrightly before him as a righteous son or a daughter of God today. He's the only one that can do that. He forgives us because sin separates us from his presence. Back to the garden, Adam and Eve. He forgives us because sin is what has separated you and I from the presence of God. Now, if I ask a question, feel free to lift your hands. Who needs more of the presence of God in their world? So what's separating us from the presence of God? Sin. Wow. But we're the righteousness of Christ. But last I checked, we're also human beings with a spirit nature. So it's two worlds. There's a tension between two worlds that collide. Would you like to know today how to overcome this? Have more of the presence of God in your world. Forgiveness allowed Israel to be righteous for a moment. This is before Jesus came. To have his presence with them for a moment. But for David and Solomon, a moment just wasn't enough. This is why they went to the trouble of building the temple. David spent his life getting all the materials for this temple so his son could build it. To get the ark back in its rightful place in the temple, the Ark of the Covenant, you know, you've probably heard the mercy seat, the cherubim. This is where the presence of God dwelled before Jesus came. David and Solomon would go to no length. Nothing would hold them back from building a temple, getting the ark. They had to go and get the ark because in history, the ark got stolen. And then, you know, Israel tried to bring it back, but they didn't do it right. And so people died because where the power and the fire of God is, that there is life, yes. But in sin, there is death because no man can handle or see the face of the radiance of our Lord God Almighty. That's what the scripture says. Because he is holy and righteous, all powerful. He is fire and he is light. He is our answer and to the world. He will judge both the world and the Christians or the saints or Israel, however you want to view that. He will judge all of us. And some he will judge through his eyes of righteousness, but others he will judge through his eyes of fire. And when his fire comes on the saints, it is a fire that will refine us like a furnace. That's the beauty of the fire of Christ, and it refines you and I like a furnace. And this is what we're going to be talking about today, is the refining fire. So for David and Solomon, a moment of the presence of God is not enough. Sunday is not enough for me. Sunday's worship is just not enough. That little bit of the presence of God when he's all consuming fire is not enough for me. What about for you this morning? Do you want more of the presence of God in your life? Is the presence of a church on a street with a street number enough of the presence of God in this community? The answer is simply no. We need the presence of God to consume our community, church. And it starts when he consumes you and I. And then he consumes your workplace. And then he consumes your business. And then he consumes your language and your word. He consumes your mind and your prayer. He consumes what you meditate on, what you post on social media. When he consumes you, the fire of God will breathe again into you and I. Only Jesus can heal. And they need healing. We need healing. Only Jesus can forgive. We need forgiving. They need forgiving. Only Jesus can restore. We need restoration. They need restoration. Only he is the beginning and the end. In the beginning, God. Not in the beginning, the church. City Point or Graham. I wasn't there. Well, maybe I was, but I wasn't yet formed. But that's a whole other one. Maybe you were too. Maybe we did high fives in the past and we just can't remember. From David and Solomon, history has another 990 years. And then our Savior was here being pinned to a cross. The Son of God was about to be crucified to make a way so that you and I could be eternally forgiven of sin. And our Savior said these words in John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. This Helper is the Holy Spirit. Let me say it this way. This Helper is the Spirit of God, who outworks who Jesus is and what Jesus made available for you and I. You want to know what he's made available for us? This is why you matter so much. Your life matters so much. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Just going to put the water down before I get excited. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? Let me say this again. Do you not know this? Jesus said these words to you and I today. You are now the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. We are now the temple of God. Can you say out loud, I am the temple of God? Say it again. I am the temple of God. Now say it with some confidence. I am the temple of God. Who are you this morning? Who are you, church? You are the temple of God. David spent his lifetime to make a temple. Solomon lost man trying to get that temple back into the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, back into the temple. Yet here is you and me, and we literally are the carriers of the presence of God, the temple of God. And you might be sitting there going, well, I don't feel like the temple of God. I've been a Christian for 20 years and I don't feel like the temple of God. Well, you are the temple of God. Nothing changes that. Your feelings don't change that. So what changes or dictates the feeling? Can I just say it this morning? Is you've been asking for the answer all morning. Can I just say what it is? Is this right? I'm still not sure. That is it okay, church? If I... Why you feel like you're not the temple? Here it is. The big three-lettered word. Sin. Sin. That's why now you are the temple, but why you feel like you're not the temple is sin. Now, my hands are up. Two hands, one leg. Like, I'm here with you. I'm in the same basket. And I know that because I wasn't the Messiah. So guess what? Here's the great news this morning. Your pastor has a sin issue as well. Is that all right? Because this is the truth. Sin separates us from the presence of God. And we needed the temple and the Ark of the Covenant for moments where the presence of God could come and dwell with us when the leader, when Moses prayed on behalf of his and did sacrifices and all that, and there was that moment of righteousness that the presence of God, and he could go into once a year, he could go into the Holy of Holies and dwell there. And I'm sure he was overwhelmed like I was this morning in the presence of God. But what if it doesn't have to be for just a moment? What if it doesn't have to be for just a moment in your life and in my life? The presence of God. I am the temple. Why? To be forgiven when I repent. To live full of power and full of the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. To be filled with God dwelling in me. I am the temple of the living God. This is why our lives matter so much. God hears our prayer from the temple. It's what Solomon prayed. From the temple, hear the prayers, Lord. God hears the prayers from the temple. And he forgives me. And he heals me. And he loves me when I'm broken. And he protects me, his people, from pestilence, from COVID-19. Come on, it's the word of God. It's the word of God, church. It's the word of the living God. He hears our cries. God, would you protect me? God, would you forgive my sin again today? As you did yesterday and 5 minutes ago. Would you forgive this mind of mine? And he says, Graham, when Jesus was on the cross and that blood poured out onto that earth, you need to know the power of that blood. It was not normal blood. It was my blood that day that shed on the soil of the earth. And you need to know that just as I was in the beginning, you need to know I formed this earth, and the blood of Jesus that is soaked in that earth washes you. You are already forgiven. Why? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit living in you right now. So we have flesh, we have our spirit man. And what happens to us is we are the temple, we are forgiven, we are redeemed. But our flesh, every time we sin, seems to just grab it, grow extra arms and extra legs. It gets stronger. And then we go, that sin was okay, it felt really good, and I think I should be able to. So we allow ourselves to do it again, and that sin nature just gets stronger in us, and that will and that desire for that sin gets stronger. And then what happens is you have children, and you don't move on from that, and they grow up thinking that that's okay, and it's normal for a Christian to live a life thinking that Sunday is what it's all about. And so what they do is they just think it's completely okay, but the children only go to church once every 2 weeks, you know, and they think it's okay just for that much of the prayer. Then they have children, and they just grow up in a household thinking once every 2 weeks to be in the presence of God is completely okay. That's normal Christianity. But their children come once a month. And then we live in an Australia that we have now where the average Christian in the Western world thinks it's a normal Christianity to go to church every 4 weeks. Did you know that? And this is how it happens. The presence of God in someone's world in 4 weeks and then having 3 weeks of living however we want in the sinful realm is not enough. Because what happens is our flesh nature overcomes the desire of our spirit man. Take this road down. Maybe it's just in your lifetime. Maybe it's this year. Maybe you already feel like you're there. We are saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus. So the only way we can lose our salvation is by losing our faith in Jesus. How do we do that? When we allow one little sin, that thinking habit, that action, that relationship, sex before marriage, and we just start to allow these things until they become our norm, until we realize we just don't really need Jesus in our day. And before you know it, you live more than 4 weeks without the presence of God. It's been 6 months. and you turn your back and your faith is no longer that Jesus is your answer, and you lose your salvation. It's the only way. It's the only way. We are the temple of God. From the beginning, God, to I am the temple of God. Amen. That's good news, isn't it? It's good news. I want to know this morning, who wants to push as much sin out as we can out of our lives to carry more of the presence of God? In a moment, the band's about to come and we're going to start worshiping and we're going to have an altar call. Because today I just want to create an opportunity for you. And I'm here, I'm at the altar call today. Who's prepared to push more of sin out of our lives? And a great prayer is God, show me what I can't see. Teach me what I don't know. You know, there's things in our lives, there's things in my life that I just think it's normal. I think it's okay, but it's really just not. You know, is it TV, and is it the time? Is it your schedule of, you know, God's got like literally the last 5 minutes of your day? You know, have you felt convicted over something in your world of late? You know, God wants to shift this sinful nature thing. I don't want us to see in this moment. I don't want us to see sin and put ourselves in this category of sin like we're a loser. Like, I don't know, did anyone else have the opportunity to get born on another planet? Just lift your hand if that's you this morning. I didn't really have that choice, okay? I was born into a world. Adam and Eve sinned before I was even here. You know, what a bad setup. So, let's not go, I'm useless. I'm a coward, or... you know, what am I worth? You know, I'm just a rubbish person. I'm worth nothing to no one, because you sort of see this morning that you might have elements of sin in your world. No. If you're a Christian in this place, you need to know you are the temple of God. And what we are doing here this morning is we're recognizing that we are also human beings with flesh nature. And coming out the front, lifting your hands, worshiping God as we get there in a moment, this isn't about, for Christians here today, it's not about you getting more salvation. Salvation is salvation. It just is what it is. It's not more salvation. It's more of the presence of God. And the more we empty ourselves, the more we can be filled again. But if we're already full, God's just there knocking on the door, just going, would you let me in? I'm full. I get about an hour of TV. Apparently, I do 6 hours of social media. Did you know this? The average person every day. You know, so I got the TV, social media. I go to work. I've got, you know, 15 kids at home. Like, my wife asked me to vacuum like at least twice a week. I go, God, I'm full, and He's going, well, I'm just here waiting, because you're my temple. And there's so much I want to do in you and through you. I want to give you an amazing life. I want to heal you, but I want to do what Shane and Robin are doing. I want to use you to do amazing, transforming people's worlds. Why don't we all stand to our feet this morning? If you've never given your heart to God, today's a great day. Because here's the reality is, By grace of God through faith in Jesus, we are saved. And if you've never given your heart to God, the truth is you've still given your heart to something. You just didn't know it. You might not have recognized it in the moment, because like I said before, this takes sometimes a lot of time, a lot of generations. Maybe you were born into a house that didn't believe in Jesus. Or maybe they, you know, you grew up in a Catholic church like a lot of people have, but your parents and your friends and your school was non-Christian, and you know, just your world just went down an avenue, and before you knew it, you were 10 years went by and you're just down this road and life has happened to you. Well, I want to give you some good news today. Life doesn't happen to you anymore. When you choose Jesus, who is life, you happen to life. In other words, it doesn't just rock you around like in a boat anymore with no direction and no purpose in life. When you give your heart to Jesus this morning, you need to know you are the purpose and Jesus is your rudder, and there is a purpose and you've got a destiny. There is somewhere that God has for you to go in your world. In this one moment of giving your heart to God, what He does do for you, this is an exchange, the great exchange we call it, where you give Him your life and He gives you forgiveness of every single thing in your world. That's a pretty good exchange. That's why we call it great exchange. Are you prepared to do that today? If you don't know Jesus, are you prepared to place your faith in Him? You've been placing your faith in yourself, in what your friends have told you is right, in the government, and whatever goes on the news, and none of it has done any good for you. Would you place your faith in Jesus? Church, can we close our eyes right now? If that's you this morning, I'm just going to real boldly ask you to lift your hand, and then we're just going to pray together. And greatest decision you will ever make in your life. Every eye is closed, heads bowed. If you could just be real bold and lift your hand. If that's you, you want to give your heart to God right now, just lift your hand very boldly so I can see that. Just going to look across and see your hands over there. God bless you guys. Is there anyone else this morning? Thank you, Jesus. It's worth waiting. I'm just going to wait 5 more seconds. It's worth waiting, hey. Your life matters. This is why you matter so much. It is, first of all, your Savior God. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Your Savior God created you in the beginning, God. And He already had your plan. And He formed you. And now what He wants to do is come and wash you, forgive you, make you clean again, restore you, and then bring His Spirit. You won't even feel it. It's not even as bad as a needle. Trust me, needles are horrible. You won't even feel it, but you'll instantly become the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I'm just going to look one more time. Every eye is closed. If that's you this morning, would you just boldly lift your hand? I just want to see who I'm about to pray with. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Well, this is what I'm going to do for you guys that lifted your hand this morning. I'm just going to say a prayer. And I would love, church, could we all repeat this prayer after me out loud this morning? And I would love you guys with the church to repeat this after me like it's your first prayer to God. And now as a Christian, definitely. So let's do that. Repeat after me. Lord God, I give you my life. I thank you for salvation. You wash every sin away. From this day forward, I endeavor to live for you. I will put the world to my side and I will see you face to face as I try my best every single day to live for you. I accept today that I am forgiven. My sin is washed away. And I am now a child of the living God. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen. Amen. Church, can we put our hands together?